The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
Congratulations, Jets. You managed to get worse and worse over time. And that, for them, that is really hard to say. That's hard to imagine. Actually, you know what I've been doing the last 10 minutes? Real talk. I swear to God, I've been watching the Knicks. Why the fuck am I going to watch that team? Why? I said goodbye. Get lost. I'm out. Season's over. We know that. That's, you know what's crazy about this too? Like, they had extra time to prepare for this team. They didn't play Steve Young or Montana and Rice and Roger Craig and Taylor or any other great team. They played an interesting team. You know, Kyler Murray, what do you have, 17, 18 straight completions? Oh, hey, Jets, you did one thing well today. You allowed the opposition to set a franchise record for consecutive passes. So you did something on the 3,000-mile trip. It wasn't in vain. You allowed the Cardinals to enhance their record book. The Jets had more time to rest their body, more time to prepare. You knew that they were going to come out and they were going to run and they were going to run and they were going to run and they were going to run. And like a bunch of wusses, the Jets weren't even, forget about being ready or prepared, they weren't even interested in tackling. Hey, let me start with Sauce Gardner. Hey, Sauce. So a little chillier today out here in the New Jersey, New York area. I get that, but I'm sure you can still squeeze in a few more rounds of golf. Looking at the 10-day weather forecast. So feel free to go out there and, you know, work on that lob wedge and those leg putts and those five irons and little knockdown shots, whatever you do. And while you're at it, how about you mix in a protein shake and hit a weight? I mean, that's it. You know what? I'm not calling him Sauce anymore. Ahmed Gardner is officially back to being Ahmed Gardner. You don't deserve it. You can't tackle for shit. It is amazing to me. It is amazing to me how a professional athlete, and I understand the whole, you know, discrepancy, power, strength ratio. Fantastic. I don't know. When you try to tackle up here, that's generally what happens when a guy's got 30 pounds on you. When you go for the ankles, generally the guy goes down. Now, I know that doesn't happen all the time, but more times than not, and I don't know, you usually learn this when you're 9, you go low. He continues to go high. It's unbelievable. They didn't fit. Oh my God. I got to watch myself. I got to watch myself here. I'm in one of those moves. Again, this is the episode number 6. Welcome to Unkillable. We'll eventually have a couple laughs. How sad is this? Because my kids are still so young, And this has been a shit day to begin with, all right? Because my son had to go, not that you necessarily care, but this is what I've been doing for the last 5-6 hours. He had a football game. He's 9. He's the quarterback. He got knocked around. They lost to a really good team. Respect. And we had to go to the x-ray room because mid-throw, we got popped from behind, and we thought he broke his arm. Thank God he did not. Knock on wood. So from the x-ray to this shit show. Well, you know, x-rays don't necessarily, you know, tell if the heart stops beating, because x-rays are, you know, bone, all right? MRI and other soft tissue imaging is for that. But we don't have to send the Jets there because we know that their heart is dead, and it's time to toe tag them. And it's time to toe tag everybody. Joe Douglas, done, gone, out. You know, I want to be careful here too. I want to make sure, and don't get me wrong, it makes me feel a little bit better, and it's a little cathartic, and it's a little whatever. I refuse, although it's going to happen. I'm not done yet here today. But this is not going to be a podcast where it's just, you know, bemoan and, you know, think about the loser existence. Now, I'm not going to try to falsely pull you up. This has sucked. As a matter of fact, this might be the worst season that I've ever had as a Jets fan. And this goes back to Kotite 1-15, because I didn't think that they'd win. I had no expectations when they were 1-15, or the 3-13 circus with Kotite. Like, even some other years that went sideways, whether it was Darnold early or Zach early or other quarterbacks who sucked, and we know all the names, I'm not going to run through them. Like, it never, my expectation outside of 99, and that sucked, but you can't control that. Vinny's Achilles burst, season done. All right, another torturous fate from the football gods. This is different. This is a more painful, sadistic script. So I started to tell you how shitty the day's been with the game and then the x-ray, you know, go to the emergency room. I told my wife, I said, get the kids out of the house. I got to talk freely. I can't do a pod the right way after that. What a fucking disgrace that was. Absolute disgrace. I said, get them out of the house. And don't put it on. Like, don't stream it in the car. Go get ice cream. Just please give me 15 minutes before I come back to normal. Now, here's the other problem here, all right? Because the Aaron Rodgers show is done, and I'm not going to disrespect the legend. He's shot. He's cooked. I will tell you that. But I'm not just going to rant and rave forever about Rodgers. He's an old man. He's an old man who could barely move. It is what it is. All right, so we know that next year there'll be a new quarterback. But what really concerns me big picture here is that The fact that Woody Johnson, in all probability, will go and join soon-to-be President Trump again in London. And what does that mean? Well, it means that his brother Christopher is going to assume the reins like he did last time that Woody worked for President Trump, then President Trump. Well, who hired Joe Douglas? Wasn't Woody. It was Christopher. So do you think that there's a chance that Christopher doubles down on the person that he hired and, like, attaches these circumstances of the injuries and the close games, and we lost a couple of games with a kicker? If they give us that shit at the end of the season, like, hey, I know a record's not good enough, but we had a couple of games we should have won, I'm going to lose my mind. I swear to God, I'm going to do something that I never tell fans to do, because I'll never be that guy, but today I'm going to be that guy. If you go to MetLife, you're fucking nuts for the next game. You are out of your mind. Go and give Woody Johnson money? For what? For what? For all the pain that he gives up? That's what we get. I mean, it's not even pain. This was a little painful because I thought that they'd score some points at least. Like, I knew that we wouldn't stop. Mike's getting in my way too. That we wouldn't stop the run. I mean, I knew that because they're 7th in the NFL. They average $150. The Jets can't tackle a lick. They're soft. They're weak. They're not even technically sound. They're disinterested. They're disjointed. God almighty, this defense, blow it up, right? So I knew that the Cardinals would run the ball. And I think I said on this pod, and even, of course, with Sal during the week on the fan, I said, Jets, I think, are going to win a high-scoring game because they've got more time to rest. They've got more time to prepare. You know what the Cardinals are going to do, and they could not stop it, and they could not score. Well, why couldn't they score, Mr. Pod Host? Because they never possessed the football because they couldn't stop them. I mean, let me see if I'm missing anything. I swear to God, I turned on the Knick game. I'm like, I'm not watching this anymore. I'm not going to watch the Knicks. Let's see here. All right, I got my sauce thing out there. Extra time to prepare. Sauce again, Christopher Woody. Yeah, I mean, listen, the big issue at this point is who is going to fix this? I don't know. I don't think that Evan, pop on in, buddy. I know. Where's my man, Evan? He's another beat down.
Hey.
My guy, Ev. I'm extra fired up today, man. It's the last hurt. Evan, this is the last drop of emotion. You know, next week, the Colts win, lose. There'll be no more. We'll do our thing, and we'll get some interviews, and we'll start pushing this thing forward. But, today, it's got to be aired out. This is the most unacceptable, disgraceful season in history. And, you know, there's one smart person in the history of the Jets. Well, I mean, Parcells, but he's almighty Bill. We revere Bill, right? Yes. Forget about Bill. So we put Bill on a different level. And there's been other good players and, you know, a couple of good coaches, not many. But there's one brilliant man, one in the history of the New York Jets. Now, you're young. I don't think that you're going to get this. I'd be stunned if you do. Do you know who that would be, Evan? Would you like to hazard a guess, sir? Anybody come to mind? It's an old name, just FYI.
Well, I mean, the only old name that I keep seeing in the comments, is it Lou Holtz?
Yeah, it is Lou Holtz, man. Look at my man, F. Give me five, buddy. Let's go. Up top. Boom. It's Lou Holtz. Now, some of you are probably saying, Lou Holtz, the old Fighting Irish coach? Yeah. That Lou Holtz, who was also the Jets head coach, and why he is the most astute, brilliant mind in the history of the Jets is because he willingly quit. He quit. That was the 76 season, 70... I believe it was 75, 76. He actually quit before the season was over because he knew what was coming down the pike. He said, goodbye, I'm out. I'm not going to deal with the mud bowl and fake spikes and ruptured Achilles and horse shit nonsense. I'm out. And what happened to Lou Holtz? Lou Holtz went on to become one of the more esteemed college coaches in history. Okay, yep. Won a national championship in the late 80s. So Lou's the only one who really knew the deal. All right, now... what worries me about this, and this, I'm totally sincere, I don't have an answer for you. I don't know where they possibly go. I mean, there's a throw a few Hail Marys. Bill Belichick, come save us. He's going to be, you know what he's going to say? He's going to go screw yourself. That's what he's going to say. That's what he's going to say. And he's going to say, no, I'm not interested in. Goodbye, drown a sad, sorry death. That's what Belichick's going to do. Where else? Oh, the young, hot college coach. Oh, yeah. All right. Play that game again. No NFL chops. That ain't going to work. Mike Vrabel. I mean, if you're Mike Vrabel, why in the world are you coming here? Now, I would take Mike Vrabel, but why are you coming here? And it's just, man, I'm at the point now, I really forget. I think that they have to trade. So not now. I know the deadline's passed. How in the world can you justify giving Ahmed Gardner I'm so used to calling him the other thing. I haven't said that in so long. It's not rolling off the tongue here, Evan.
Yeah.
How do you give him the big money debt for what? I mean, he weighs 135 pounds. Hit the freaking weight room, dude. I understand that you're naturally thin. Did you learn how to tackle? I keep coming back to that because he's killed us this season and he's out there playing golf and doing, you know, now he shut down his social media, you know, but he was always out there. So aware of what's going on. Dude, worry about your craft because as you came in the first 2 years and you were stud, the league figured you out. Instead of going away from you because you're a good pass defender, now they run right at you because they know there's not a damn thing that you could do about it. So he is a massive problem. Garrett Wilson's awesome. I got no problem with him. Now you trade for Davante Adams. I mean, not that you gave up a ton, but you didn't give up a sixth rounder. You gave up a little something. And the thing, this is why this loss is so pain. Something else too. Checks notes. Did the Colts win today? Nope. Colts didn't win. Checks notes further. Did the Broncos win today? Nope. Broncos didn't win today. Goes back a couple of days, even though they should have because they got absolutely screwed. Did the Cincinnati Bengals win? Nope. They lost as well. Everything happened their way. And this is what they put out there. Fuck you, Jets.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's become an absolute disaster. And it was like an interesting topic that I was talking about in another podcast that I think relates to here is who are the corner, like if you're a new GM coming in, who are the cornerstones? Like, which three guys on this entire team do you even pick to build around to move forward?
Okay. One is Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
I can't even say Barrett Tucker at this point. Always hurt. I know we came back today.
Yep.
No tight ends, no safeties. I like Quincy. He's going to be around, but I don't know if you build around him. DJ Reed's probably going to be gone. Like, build around? Tittman, he's okay. And I don't know. That's my answer. Do you have an answer
for our that was the great thing about the question. Like I was talking about it with this Browns podcast, and they couldn't even come up with two. So I was thinking about the Browns. And I'm like, we're in the same boat as the freaking Browns right now. This is insane.
So you know it's gonna have to happen too. And you know, there is a chance, as much as it's very clear to me what they have to do. And that is obviously get rid of everybody. I mean, literally everybody.
Yeah.
Rodgers, GM, coach, coordinator. Everybody, right? Except a few of their core players, the ones that we can't identify, those guys, whoever the hell they deem core guys, right? And there's a chance that, while we all know what they should do, there is still a chance, based on what I said about Woody, I don't know if he's definitely going to work with Trump again, in all probability going to do that. Yep. And then Christopher comes in and he's going to, you know, again, when you make it, see, this is the way, it's called self-preservation. When you make a decision and talk about sunken cost and, you know, blurring the lines of reality, what are the core business principles? Like when it's broken, don't keep throwing money at it. Just, it sucks. It's a PR hit. You lose money. But by trying to like regenerate and restart this thing, It makes it worse. So as much as I'm looking at you guys and telling you, and I'll tell you all week on the fan, that everybody should be gone, I don't know that they will. I think is it going to surprise anybody? Well, here's what's going to happen. All right. They're going to win a couple games at the end of the season. Rodgers will probably have a game where he throws three touchdowns. He looks like a little vintage Rodgers, whatever. And that will be enough to probably justify them bringing him back. And we're in the same boat next year. It's 41, same shit. So I don't have much except to, if you just tuned in, I didn't even watch the final 6 minutes. I watched the Knicks. That's where I'm at. Evan, hit me up with some, do we have any messages or is that open today? I would imagine it is.
Well, we got some interesting kind of like questions. I think one of them you kind of already answered, which was like an I don't know. This guy David Galligan said, "How do you even sell this team to a new coach? And who would want to coach this team? Yeah. Like when you come into this team, let's say the Browns job's available, let's say these other jobs are available. What would make the Jets even appealable right now?"
Nothing. Money. That's the one answer. And so there. And I get it. You know, everybody wants their first chance in life. And in terms of that first big, you know, head coaching position, whatever it might be, whatever line of work you're in. So the Jets will, again, if they even make a change, and it's if it's not Vrabel, because you know Belichick's not coming here, Harbaugh's gone, you can't do that. I really don't have any other answers for. I wish I did. What, McCarthy? How about this? Here's a Hail Mary. McCarthy gets fired by the sad sack Dallas Cowboys, and yeah, you reunite McCarthy with Rodgers and Adams. I mean, at this point, it wouldn't stun me if that actually happened. So the only thing to me that's appealing is this, because, you know, the Jets aren't cheap. They've been a little cheap with their coaches over the years, but they pay players, and maybe this level of desperation, you know, I don't know, inspires them or motivates them to spend even more. So if you're a coach and you're either a coordinator or a college coach or a coach that gets fired after the season and wants to go, just jump right back in, that's the motivation. Because Evan, to your point, and whoever's, I don't know who sent that.
David Galligan was his name.
I appreciate that, Dave. Thank you. The only reason you would say, yes, I want to work for the Jets is because nobody else wants you. Man. There's not a single football reason. There's not an organizational reason. There's not a historical reason. I mean, they don't even have their own stadium. And the stadium that they have is gross. I mean, here's the other thing, too. The Giants lost. New York football right now is I really mean this. Like, sometimes we say things and we have a little fun and we stretch it too far. I really believe that if you took the Jets roster and the Giants roster and you fused it together, you still wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
You still wouldn't be good. Oh, dude. All right. What else, Ev?
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the other questions. It's like, who's worse, the Jets or the Giants? And I think the mindset that I originally thought of when they first said it, it's like the Giants came into this year knowing we have a dog shit quarterback. We let our star running back go, and we're praying that Malik Nabers can somehow catch it from a guy who can't throw. We got that going on. Yeah. And then you got the Jets who come into this year, and it's like, hey, we got a good quarterback, we got a good running back, we got a good couple wide receivers, and then they just stink every single game. And then they have one game to draw you back in to watch the next game, and then they stink that game. So it's just like, I don't know what's worse. It's either of a team where it's like, we're going to suck, we know, let's get Travis Hunter, let's try to get Shedeur Sanders, or is it, we have a team that we thought was going to be good and may break the streak for once, and then they just continue to suck. It's crazy.
It really is. And I know that we're crazy. Yeah, that's then one of the reasons I wanted to do this pod. I wanted to be crazy together. Oh, we're lunatics. We are deranged, delusional nutballs. I mean, the fact that we keep coming back for this shit, my son even said, and how sad is this? He's 9. He said, he's sitting on the couch, ice in his arm, bandaged up, and he says, Dad, this was today. I don't think we're ever going to win the Super Bowl. Like, imagine, like, ever.
Yeah.
Imagine having that thought at the age of 9, like, pushing it that far ahead in your own little still-developing mind and brain. Like, that's how bad they are, that they take even the most pure spirits and they destroy them. Now, I'm above that. You're above that. I keep coming back for more because what else am I going to do on a Sunday? Honestly, what else are we going to do? Apple pick? No, this is what we do. Had a good meal today. I did have some good food. I bypassed the roast beef, the mozzarella, the extra, a little mayo, a little drizzle of pesto, and a roasted red peppers. I bypassed that because we had a great big, that didn't work out because we lost, but before our boys had their playoff game today, we had a big spirit night at one of our friends in town, beautiful home. And we had the whole team there and it was pasta, it was meatballs, carb them up a little bit. And it was so much that we all took home a ton of stuff. So, you know, we get back from the doctor, whatever, you know, penny a la vodka, just hammering stuff back. And I really was, you know, I really was excited. I was excited the way they looked the second half of the Texans. Now the first half was a complete zero, as we know. And then I'm like, all right, a couple of things clicked here. Like Aaron's getting out of the pocket, little chemistry with Devontae. Like, you know, like they needed to click, even though they know each other very well. Like you saw a little click there. Garrett's sick play, 8 sacks, even though the Houston's O-line was completely smashed in half. They give up a ton of sacks, so that's not really an anomaly here. But the Jets feasted, and you know, by feasting, you feel better. The building's a little bit different; it's a little looser, but yet there's more focus and more belief. And I just know how I am with certain things when they go poorly. And then how I feel and kind of everybody, that's human nature. And when you get, when something good happens, it lifts the spirits. And we think they've got some talent, and to have extra time and to see last week it happened. And then this week, yeah, just ran down again. Colts lost. Obviously the Denver Broncos lost here. The Bengals lost on Thursday. All these things that were happening that I was presenting to, you know, this audience, of course, on The Fan. Hey, listen, I told everybody, I'm not guaranteeing a playoff spot. That's lunacy. Who would do that? But despite, like, sometimes you're really bad, and sometimes the circumstances around you throw you a lifeline. And the Jets took the lifeline. They looked at it. They said, nah, we're not interested in living. And they flipped it to the side, and they sank to the bottom of the ocean. That's what happened today. But, like, at least leading up to today, and seeing the Bills score and watching some of the highlights and bouncing around the red zone, I'm like, okay, it's what I've been telling everybody. It's starting to dominoes at least a little bit. If they beat the Cardinals, who's in next with the Colts? Like, it was so – it was starting to pick up a little bit of velocity. And, I mean, the Jets – only the Jets can, like, self-induce a flat tire. It's beyond maddening. What else you got? You got something good there?
I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, who should we go after in the draft? Is it time to start studying mock drafts? The crazy part about this year's draft, which is almost, like, even more depressing, is everybody's saying it's, like, such a crappy draft outside of, like, the top, like, four or five. So it's like, do you just completely crap out for the top five, or do you, you know, try to win some games, get some dignity, and then proceed to a guy who might not even be that impactful?
Well, think about this, Evan. And I think for some teams in different situations, it might be an easier answer, right? But, like, for the Giants, all right? God, that was gross, too. I don't know what was more gross, even though the Jets got destroyed.
Like 9:30 in the morning, too. So you're waiting.
Yeah.
You're waiting up to see that.
9:30 in the morning for that disgrace. And at least with Jones, if you're a Giants fan, you're sitting there saying, all right, he's probably going to be benched next game, whatever. Now, depending upon how serious Mara is with his endorsement of Shane and Dable, that might influence how hard Dable chases wins down the stretch. Because, you know, one thing that I've said, and most people did not agree with this, you know, I know this is about the Jets, but it ties into the Giants. I'm going to weave Giants back into the Jets. When John Mara spoke at the Paley Center a couple of weeks back, he said, I don't anticipate any changes. Well, did you anticipate losing to the Panthers in Germany? The answer is no, which is why I told everybody, I circled that word from minute one, anticipate. And I said, because you can easily walk that back. Hey, John, like, say if he does, and at this point, everything's on the table for the Giants, too. Let's say he moves on from Dable and Shane or one of the two, whatever, and he's asked about this at the end of the year press conference that he'll hold. John, you know, you told us a couple of months ago you didn't really anticipate this, and you didn't think you would make a move. He could say, see, I didn't anticipate and I didn't want to, but ... So the Giants, their path is simple. There's no motivation. Because I want to get separation. I know the players don't tank. They've got to put stuff on film to get next contract. That's not happening with the players, but the mindset of the organization. The Giants, provided if Mara goes to Dable and says, "Listen, you're back no matter what. Play the kids. See what the backups got. Drew Lock. If not, we'll go back to DeVito. Jones is done. Let's move on. But it doesn't matter if we don't win the rest of the year. You're back." That's not going to happen to Ulbrich, and that's not going to happen to Joe Douglas, nor should it. So that's why I wanted to set up the Giants situation versus the Jets, and the motivation is starkly different because the Jets, everything was now, you know, going for a Super Bowl, going for it all, bringing in Rodgers, bringing in Tyron Smith, who got hurt. He didn't even play the second half, whatever. Not that it matters. He stunk this year. Yeah. Trading for Devontae. Trading for Devontae Adams. Everything they did was to win. So anything other than wins the rest of the way is a death knell. And it's a death knell no matter what. But in their minds, they're fighters, and I respect this. They're competitors, and they're going to try to, you know, win some games to hold out hope and maybe change some perception down the stretch here. And maybe they get thrown a lifeline, they get brought back. I wouldn't bring him back, that's for damn sure. But who the hell knows what Woody Johnson's thinking or what Christopher Johnson's thinking. And the other thing, too, and I started to, I know I jump around a little bit after these, I get so worked up. The other thing, I said this, but I want to say this again. How do you go to a game?
Yeah.
And let me absolve some people. If you are a parent and you get season tickets, you don't have season tickets and you really never get a chance to go, and you have young kids and one of your buddies gives you go. I mean, the kids don't know. They'll know when they get older, but just, oh yeah, we got a chance to be good this year. Lie to them, whatever. And then just go and have a good time. I'm not talking to those. I would never say that for a family to avoid having a potentially really memorable day, get the good pictures and just have a great memory, which I love and I respect. But if you're like a season ticket holder or you're on the fringe, should I get tickets? You couldn't fucking pay me to go. You couldn't pay me to go. If Woody Johnson called me right now and said, hey, I'll give you $25,000 to go to the next game, I'd say I'm not interested, dude. Keep it. I'm not coming. I'm not going, you know, and I try not to tell people what to do with their money, but maybe that's the only thing that will get them to respond. I don't know. They're broke. They're hopeless, dude. I mean, but I can't say that because we are unkillable. We'll be back for more, Evan. You know that, buddy.
Yeah, and then the icing on the top was Mike Williams making the freaking game-winning catch for the Steelers earlier today.
Oh, split out wide is Mike Williams, recently traded from the Jets. He's out on the left side. Here's the snap. Russell Wilson drops back over to Williams. Touchdown, Mike. You can't make it up. You can't make it up. And not only Williams could have been traded to anybody, but he scores a touchdown and he scores a touchdown. Now they're catching no one, but he catches the touchdown for one of the teams in front of you that if he doesn't catch that touchdown, very good chance that they lose the game. And then it would have been perfect. Colts lost, the Broncos lost, the Bengals lost the other night. Oh yeah. By the way, the Steelers even lost the game 4-4 from a Jet perspective. Oh man. Let me just lighten this up for a second. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, he might be doing this anyway. Whatever his daily dose of ayahuasca is, I mean, this guy's got to be tripling the intake at this point. Like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, he's not married, he's got no kids, so he's got no responsibility except to be the quarterback of the Jets, right? And to be a good citizen, which he is. But dude, I think I don't know if they're in vials. Do you smoke? I don't even know. I mean, I know about gummies. I know about, I don't know about ayahuasca. I mean, I know you don't inject it. However the hell you take ayahuasca, take triple the dosage. And like, what he's in New Jersey. He really probably didn't even want to be here. If you really think, he just knew that he could manipulate the Jets. His family, I don't even know if they talk it. I'm not taking a shot at him. I wouldn't do that, but he doesn't have family here. Like, how lonely is this guy? I mean, what does he do tonight when he gets back to his $11 million home in the middle of New Jersey? What does he do? What does he think? What?
Yeah,
Don't think. Take ayahuasca. Watch a movie. That's it. Kick back. Watch The Penguin. By the way, do you watch The Penguin on HBO?
I haven't watched it yet, no, dude. But I hear how good it is.
It's phenomenal. It's funny. I love superheroes growing up and I love Star Wars growing up and all that stuff. But like, they make so many of these, I can't follow them, dude. There's when I think of Star Wars, I think of Han. I think of Stormtroopers. I think of Darth Vader. I think of Princess Leia. I think of Chewbacca, Lightspeeds, the Sand Troopers, the old shit, right? When I think of superheroes, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, Little Flash, Iron Man, Captain America, then they branch off with all these things I don't really know. So, but when I heard The Penguin was coming out, I'm like, and I'm thinking like The Penguin, like, you know, The Penguin, like half a human, half a penguin.
Yeah.
That's what I was actually thinking. It's actually, maybe he turns into, I'm sure eventually he's going to turn into The Penguin the way he looks, but it's based on it's like a mob background. It's amazing, dude. It is absolutely, so triple the intake of ayahuasca and just, binge The Penguin tonight. Here's a live look at Aaron Rodgers. It's just, I hate this, dude. I hate it. And you know, I hate it. I hate it for Jet fans. Now, I'm going to say this, like, yeah, I mean, as much as it's boring after a while, like, at least as I step back, I'm blessed to talk sports for a living, you know? Yeah. I worked hard to get to this point. I'm working in New York, which is where I'm from. I'm on The Fan, which is where I always wanted to be. And launched a pod, which is something I've had my eye on for a while, through St. John's basketball. Like, professionally, I'm very busy. I'm very happy. And it's sports. So I'm never going to lose perspective to the point of bitching and moaning about having to watch the Jets. You know what I mean? Because yeah. I just think if I was had a more conventional job and I carve out like 3 hours a day, 3 hours a week to watch the Jets. Now you got some guy on the radio and maybe others do this and that's fine. Maybe that's their shtick. That's okay. It's not mine. That's not my thing. But if I heard, like, say if I was a lawyer or a coach, which what I probably would have been, one of the two, college coach, and I hear a broadcaster complaining about watching shitty football, Jets and Giants, you know, I don't know that that would really be too well received by me because you're still watching football and yeah. getting paid for it. So I think the day that I go down that road, I'm not saying I won't have a moment of weakness and say that, but I'll always rally back and be very appreciative and very protective of what I have. But if I didn't do this for a living, this is the point. I think I would be just, from a sports perspective, I'd be inconsolable. Like, and you shouldn't let it infiltrate your life. Yet I hope that, I know many of you don't, trust me, you guys and gals out there, if we have any, I'm sure we do. You know, like if you take this, you know, upstairs or, you know, you carry around this attitude and you slink around and you're pissed off or God forbid, even worse, you know, you break something in front of your kids. I mean, I see these videos, TVs getting smashed, remotes getting smashed. Like, what the fuck planet are you from? Just take it easy, man. Listen, there's a problem, Evan. And I know that this is not literally true, but it feels like it is. And that's what bothers me. There's a problem when it seems like we care more about the games than they do. And that's what really hurts, I think, most Jet fans, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's especially true sometimes when it's like you watch a sporting moment and internally you're like, that's the worst thing I've ever witnessed. And they're like slapping hands or like smiling.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, you got to hate these guys at least for four quarters. I don't care if you love them off the field for four quarters. You got to hate this guy.
I know. Hang on. Let me just see if the Knicks won. Maybe get a little modicum of good news here today. They were up by a couple. Come on, Knicks. Did you hang on? Come on, Knicks. I don't love what I'm seeing from them so far. Knicks lost. Oh, God almighty. They gave up 132 points. Yeah, that's something I know it's not about the Knicks. So I'm not going to get into this, but they gave up 132. They gave up 40 in the fourth quarter. God. I thought that would make me feel better. It didn't, actually. All right, man. So, like, you know, where the hell do we have to get a guest on this week. We have to get a guest on this week, all right? Because to preview the Colts game, I mean, I'll give you a speck of a preview. I won't waste you much time on it. I'll give you a little bit. I've got a few in mind. I don't want to just drop the names now. I'm working on some stuff behind the scenes. You and I are getting together on some stuff. Yep. And listen, we're gonna keep trudging forward. If anything, because I just and I did say when I launched this that I'm not gonna be the guy who just, you know, throws out gratuitous F-bombs, but yeah, this is me, you know, you're going to get the, not that you don't get the real me on The Fan, but I can't say that, you know, if I could, you get this on The Fan. I just can't. I wish it was more, you know, happy, but it's not. I mean, this has been a disgrace of a season. And if I had my way, Woody Johnson would be so overcome with embarrassment. This won't happen. And he would sell the team. Because I definitely don't believe in curses. That's for the Namath curse. Although I got to tell you, I mean, even with the jersey behind me, what has Joe Namath done for me? He's done nothing for me. I didn't even see him throw a pass, right? Should get my Corbett jersey back up there. Maybe I will next time. Shout out to number 80, one of my all-time favorites. But, or Klecko, or my guy Wesley Walker, who I know and love, get 85 up there. Namath thing, it's not working. I don't believe in curses. I believe in good organizations operating from a place of power and not desperation. And it's no coincidence that the Jets are too often desperate, and desperation makes you really make hasty decisions. It distorts the reality, especially in New York. There's nowhere to hide. And jobs are on the line, so you go for the old quarterback. You trade for Devontae Adams to try to placate the old quarterback, blah, blah, blah. All the shit that's happened has led to nowhere. And it should be complete wrecking ball time. If Christopher takes over the team, I don't know if he's going to get rid of Joe. He'd be nuts not to. I don't know how the hell you run it back. How do you justify that? You can't. But these are the Jets. And anything that you think that they can't do, they do. And anything that you think that they will do, they don't. It's always the opposite. This is the opposite podcast, and it's the opposite franchise. Honestly, I hate them. I hate them. I'm forever in love with them, but I hate them. With every ounce of my sporting soul, I hate them. I hate what they're already doing to the new younger generation. I could see it in my son's eyes. Already, Dad, I don't think we're ever going to get to the Super Bowl, win it. You're nine. I mean, when I was 9 years old, I just thought everything was good. But you watch these losers every week, and it reprograms those little minds. And that makes me mad. That bothers me, Evan.
Yeah. No, it's brutal. Somebody just sent in this super chat, which is like they pay money to send in a chat, so we'll read it. Okay. Says, give me Vrabel. He got canned because he was too much of a hard ass. We need that. Sauce needs to be called out. Corley should not have dressed. We have no standard, no more coddling these guys. So,
yep. I mean, this goes back to Saleh. Now, I mean, listen, in hindsight, does it look like they firing Saleh was the smart thing? No, they've gotten worse. The defense has definitely gotten worse, but I thought they had to do something. I was okay with it. I mean, I wouldn't have brought Saleh back, but I'm on the record for that. And many of you guys have heard me say that on the radio, but I think that when you go back to even Saleh, who is just so reluctant, not even reluctant, completely detached, where I never saw him light up anybody. Not once did I see him, you know, walk over to Zach and, you know, I mean, again, within reason, but hey, we're big boys. It's okay to curse. It's okay to get mad. You're the coach, you know, or anybody. Instead, I would just see him by himself. So this isn't to just pile on Robert Saleh. He's fired. He's a good man and whatever. But I think that the culture that I thought that he was going to create, which is why I really lauded the hire. And even before they made it and before I lauded it, I was actually pushing for it. I wanted them to hire him because I thought we're getting a culture builder, a toughness, a professional pride, an element of that. And we've gotten none of it. Now suddenly DJ Reed stinks. Like it's taken the whole team down. I could go on forever. I'm not going to waste anybody's time. I mean, I'm done, man. All right. So that is it. This is number six, right?
Yep. Yep.
We've had one happy podcast. One.
True.
One. It is amazing. Hey, listen, if you guys know other Jet fans out there and you want to give them a look at this, how it went down and what we're all about here, by all means, do it. Appreciate you guys. Spotify, Apple, download away, share it, send it. This is going to be the number one Jets pod when it's all said and done. Not going to happen overnight. Just planting seeds and getting this thing growing. Hopefully you guys, those who know me, trust me to always, even though I'm a little optimistic as a Jets fan, that's what a lot of people say, you're going to get the real. And it's, I mean, you know, you know where to come after a game. And this is the place, all right? I'll see you tomorrow on the fan with my guy, Sal. Got to go dig into this Nick box score, see what the hell went wrong there. And that's it. Season's over. I won't waste your time anymore about if this team loses, if they beat, they don't deserve our attention in that regard. The only thing that they will get, you will get the live reactions after every game, even if they don't win one the rest of the year. I promise that's part of the deal. Midweek, you'll get something. But now we've got to start, you know, tapping into what in the world does the future hold? How do we tap into, and we will, resources of fixing this? I guess I'll leave you with an ounce of positivity, although I don't even want to. But I just say this because this is life. Like, you know, there's no such thing as a terminal sports failure. It takes somebody with a real vision and moxie and presence and acumen and all those things that none of our coaches ever have, basically. So, you know, the next one probably won't either. But if you could find that and a GM, I'm always going to be of the mindset things are fixable. But right now, it is a circus. It is disgraceful. And the Jets, honestly, they shouldn't even come out of the tunnel next week against the Colts because, and if they do, nobody should be there to meet them. That place should be empty. You want to come in from Indianapolis? Go for it. But you're not getting an ounce of support in that stadium from me. I'll watch because I have to and do my job and we'll do the pod. But I will watch like a zombie because at this point, I officially expect nothing. Have an awesome night. It's just football. I know football's a big thing, but it's just football at the end of the day. So it's almost the holidays. So good times coming up. Appreciate you listening. I'll catch you tomorrow at 10 on the Fan. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.